At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, joins me, and we're very pleased to welcome Greg Roman, the Executive Director of the Middle East Forum, immediately to a story about five fronts. That is, there's a ceasefire now, and the understanding is the war will be solved. Five fronts. Greg, a very good evening to you. Five fronts, where and how? Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. What we've seen happen in the last year, starting with the fall of Bashar al-Assad in Syria, then followed by the 12-day war between Israel and Iran in June, and now with the ceasefire negotiated largely with the participation of the United States. But if you notice at the table, there was also the heads of state of Qatar and of Turkey. These two countries are jockeying for the ability to replace Hamas as the main actor in Gaza, not as part of a Gaza reconstruction strategy or to look good on the world stage in terms of giving humanitarian assistance and rebuilding efforts in the Gaza Strip, but is opening up their fifth front that they have been using for the past year since the fall of Assad to replace the Shia Crescent, which once extended from Beirut to Tehran. We now find the Turks materially and militarily active in Gaza, in Djibouti, in southern Lebanon, replacing Saad Hariri and the Sunni influence in Sidon and in Tyre and in Tripoli. And we also see them active in Syria, shadowing every Syrian government minister, and increasingly active in Jordan. The idea there being that the Shia may have left, but the radical Sunni Islamists have replaced them. The Turks are providing the manpower. The Qataris are providing the budget.
Malcolm?
So the implications of the in the coming months, where Turkey seems to have won the favor of the administration and being given more and more responsibility, are you saying this will become a platform for them, in fact, to implement this plan by establishing the base in Gaza and extending then their influence in these other areas?
That's correct. They have tried to, piece by piece, take the competing actors in the region off the board. They're trying to edge out the Emiratis from being part of the Gaza reconstruction process. They are trying to sign a maritime agreement with Libya to hermetically seal Greece and Cyprus's ability to drill in the Eastern Mediterranean by claiming that Turkey's territorial waters and Libya's territorial waters meet at the midway point, thereby giving them complete dominion over the Eastern Mediterranean north of Gaza, leaving the Egyptians a sliver, Israel 20 nautical miles, and every other country fending for itself. You also see the Turks trying to extend their air power to get the air enforcement operations over Syrian airspace as part of an agreement that was just negotiated, not yet signed or implemented, between the Syrian Air Force and the Turkish Air Force. And you also see them trying to start getting control of the Bab al-Mandab Strait, which is the bottom of the Red Sea, the entry point to the Indian Ocean after you cross the Suez Canal, giving them maritime supremacy there. All of this is meant to give Turkey not just the sort of neo-Ottoman-esque ambition that Erdogan has been talking about since he became prime minister of Turkey in November of 2002, and then president later on, but it's setting up Turkey as a regional hegemonic power. And the only solution is for Israel to meet them, not halfway, but to extend their influence, very much like Iran did, by creating Israeli proxies that hedge and that agitate against the Turks, just like the Turks are trying to do against Israel.
What's Erdogan's plan for al-Shara at Damascus?
He sees him as creating a buffer and a bridge for three or four different purposes. The buffer between Turkey and Israel. If he empowers Syrian jihadis and they attack the Golan Heights, it's not Turkey doing so. He has plausible deniability on that. So that's in the area of territorial control. Secondarily, he is expecting Shara to push Syrian Kurds 40 kilometers back from the Syrian-Turkish border, back to an area, if you look on Google Maps, called the M4 Highway. Erdogan is looking for elbow room in northern Syria so he can send the 3 million Syrian refugees that are currently in Turkey back to Syria to replace areas that he hopes Shara will ethnically cleanse of Kurds. The third thing he hopes to do is to reestablish the land bridge where most transportation in terms of light trucks and other cargo used to go across the Middle East from Turkey through Syria, down through Jordan and Iraq and into the Gulf. Turkey lost that with the advent of the Syrian civil war back in 2011. They've been using Haifa as a transition point. They've been using Iraq as a transfer point. They want the Baghdad, Aleppo, Damascus, Idlib highway back under Turkish control. And lastly, this is about religious ambition. This is about Erdogan thinking as sort of not the heir to the caliphate. He does not see himself as a caliph, right? A Muslim spiritual leader, but as a Muslim political leader who is very much through his statements and through his actions, taking an anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, and frankly, anti-American approach to a lot of his regional ambitions. He's now executing them. He's not just talking about them. So his ambitions are starting to become his reality.
Malcolm?
So we have, and I do believe he sees himself as a caliph because he used that term to me, describing his designs on Jerusalem and saying that you can't be the caliph if you don't have Jerusalem. But I want to go back to the points you made. Didn't the international community reject the territorial waters argument that they try to use against Cyprus and Greece in the past and was rejected by the international community? And second, to operate out of Bab al-Mandab, do they use the Houthi infrastructure? Do they create their own? I know that they were looking to build a base in the lower Red Sea. Is that still in the offing?
Yes, there's actually right now construction of a Turkish base in Djibouti. And if you remember back at the beginning of January, so now 10, 11 months ago, there was an agreement between Eritrea and Ethiopia to establish a port. The Ethiopians were talking about skipping over Eritrea and going to Somaliland, mm-hmm. The Ethiopian port there. So, you know, Ethiopia is one of the largest countries that are still landlocked. And you see right now that the Turks negotiated the Eritrean port for Ethiopian access because they wanted to be able to have access to that too. You also have the Turkish project at the Ambuli Friendship Dam in Djibouti, where you have a lot of Turkish construction companies there. But once they had that project that was going on, it's been about 6 years since it's been there, the Turks are having a military presence there too. So there's a lot of things that are going under the radar. But I really think that the Turkish military base that they've put in power there is one thing. The other thing is they have a significant foothold in Mogadishu, in Somalia. A lot of people don't know that Turkey's biggest presence there was 2,000 soldiers that are in Somalia. They both have Suakin near Sudan, and then they have Mogadishu, and then they have the Djibouti forces.
The Turks, they have a very large army. What are they going to do with it? Just sit there, or are they moving in somewhere that doesn't want them?
No, I mean, Turkey has a 100-ship Blue Water Navy plan in place that'll see the first Turkish aircraft carrier. They're building their own domestic supply lines. I mean, forget all the drones. Turkish combat drones have proliferated all throughout North Africa. Not only do the Arab countries have them, but Mali, Niger, Nigeria, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Angola, the DRC, all have the use of the Bayraktar drone. But that naval presence they have there is meant to enforce their claims to those territorial waters between Libya and Turkey. And the way that this is being considered is not as a play that is like the Cyprus equation, because you have one side, the Greek Cypriots, saying, no, you don't have the ability to recognize this land. We don't recognize the Turkish Republic of Cyprus. You're the only country that recognizes the Turkish sort of proxy government there. But this is a bilateral agreement between Libya and Turkey itself, where they're saying that the southwesternmost point of Turkey is in the area equidistant to the northeasternmost point of Libya, matches in an area that doesn't go into the territorial waters of Greece, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, or Israel.
30 seconds, Greg. 30 seconds.
So basically, they have started executing on their 23-year plan, and now you're seeing the results of it with boots on the ground.
Greg Roman is Executive Director of the Middle East Forum, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.